Bibles, please, for our second reading to Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy, and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, Art thou he of whom I have spoken of old time? Or spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God, every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain, and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So these three chapters that go together here, the last chapter that we read last week, chapter 37, and the vision of the valley of the dry bones, then here 38 and 39, the destruction of Gog and Magog and their company in the latter days. I am of a mind to agree in my understanding of these passages, or these three chapters, with the Reverend Patrick Fairbairn and his work on prophecy. Also, if you read Dr. Edward Joseph Young, and if you read the Westminster Assemblyman William Greenhill on the book of Ezekiel, you will find that these men are in agreement that these three chapters go together, and they are a prophecy of the blessings that will come upon the people of God because of his mercy and grace, not just in the day of the restoration, but in the latter days as well. That three times in this passage that we've just read here, we have read about in many years, in the latter days, and so on. This is a prophecy that will come to pass not in Ezekiel's day, not in the restoration, not even in the Maccabean period, but this is a thematic or idyllic prophecy for the New Testament age, speaking about the triumph of God's people over all their enemies. The enemies here are not to be taken literally either. The enemies here are, Gog and Magog, they're really, I know that there are some that have said, well, we know where they are. We really don't. It's a nondescript area. If you think of your ancient Near Eastern geography, if you're moving from the eastern shores of the Mediterranean Sea, and you keep moving east, you have the Tigris River, the Euphrates River, past the Jordan. Then you go north of there, you end up in that Middle Asia section. Today we call that the land of Afghanistan, and then Persia, and then Afghanistan to the north, Turkmenistan, all of those areas there. What the prophet describes here is he describes it as it were like a drain or a funnel, that all of that land of the north, that there's just going to be people coming down and invading Israel. But it's not a literal Israel, and it's not a literal all the people of the land of the north. This speaks of the enemies of God, how powerful and mighty they are, such that the only way that the people of God could ever have any hope of salvation is not in themselves, but in God, who will overcome all their enemies. It's a huge force that we're talking about here, and a huge landmass from which, even in that day, millions could come forth to make war. So it is this kind of extremity that we're seeing. It's in the latter days. We're going to hear in the next chapter that they're going to take their weapons and they're going to burn them for 7 years, and they're going to bury bodies for 7 years. See, this is the kind of thing, when we see this kind of language in Scripture, we understand that it is ideal. It is spoken of not to be interpreted literally, like this is a newspaper headline written 1,000 years or 2,000 years before it ever took place. But it's written to the people of God in that age and how they would have received it at the hand of the prophet. I mean, what is Israel going to think? They are in captivity, like we said last week in the vision of the valley of the dry bones. Can these bones live? That's the question. And of course, the answer is yes. Yes, I'm going to bring you back to your own land. But more than that, I'm going to expand. I'm going to fulfill my promise that I said to Abraham, that this gospel program is a worldwide program. And so in chapters 38 and 39, what we learn is it doesn't matter how many enemies rise up against that program. The Lord will defeat them. He will bring them to nothing. God's people are safe because God's promises are secure. So there are things to be spoken of here that are a part of those broad prophetic strokes. Listen to what Patrick Fairbairn says. I thought this was an interesting quotation. I think you might find it interesting as well. Persons who, in the face of all of these considerations, can still cling to the literal view of this prophecy must be left to themselves. They must have principles of interpretation or grounds of conviction which it is impossible to deal with in the way of argument. Their views also respecting the position and calling of the Old Testament prophets as to the revelation of the future must be altogether erroneous, as if that had been to delineate beforehand with historical exactness the coming events of providence, and not rather to disclose after what manner the truths and principles of the divine government should appear in the administration of the affairs of men. I think there's a lot of learning there. So we come to this passage then, and we hear that there's going to come a time when the Lord will make Israel to dwell. And notice how much of a change this would have been for the people of God. I'm going to cause you, my people, to enter into a time when you will dwell securely in unwalled villages. Such will be my blessing toward you. I'm going to bring you back to the land. And the land, remember, as we learned last week, it's a type of their eternal inheritance. And you will not need cities that are walled. I will be your protection. Why? Because I will dwell in the midst of you. This is the gospel promise. Remember how this book ends. We have 9 chapters in 40 through 48 in a description of the New Testament church and her worship in prophetic terms. And then how does it end? And the name of that place shall be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. That's how the book ends. And in what sense is the Lord there? In the sense that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. In that sense, these are semi-veiled, but not to good Bible students, semi-veiled prophetic strokes that help us to understand the greatness of the blessing of the Lord in Christ in the after days, in the latter days. So my people are going to be dwelling securely. And the enemy, he's going to see that. And he's going to say, time for us to rise up. We're going to drain all the lands of Gog and Magog, Meshach, Tubal, all of Persia, all of these places. A number that no man can number is going to rise up against the people of God. Oh yeah, in the book of Revelation, we hear about a 200 million man army, don't we? It's the same kind of stroke. John is relying at that point on Ezekiel as he does so very often. And what will happen to those armies? Well, they will be defeated. They will be roundly defeated. Because no weapon formed against you shall prosper, people of God. This is the point that's being made here in Ezekiel 38. So I'm out of time, had to set up all of that. So let me just say a couple of things and then we'll close. In the second section, verses 14 through the end, in broad and ideal terms, the Lord makes known His determination regarding His people. It is the Lord that brings this enemy to fight against Israel. He stirs them up. And He stirs them up in order that He might be sanctified even in their eyes. Some of those Gentiles then, that rise up against the people of God to make war against her, themselves will be converted to Him. This is God's determination. He raises up enemies only to subdue them. He raises up enemies like He did with Pharaoh, only to make His mighty power known, that God's glory may be seen over all the earth. Not just in Israel, not just in the church, but that the enemies of the church should be subdued to the Lord Jesus Christ. So finally, the chapter ends then and it speaks of the Lord's defeat of his enemy. It's called a great shaking, but we have received, Hebrews 12, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's a description of the seas and the mountains and the rivers. And this is consistent with other apocalyptic literature in Scripture, such that, you know, these things are going to cease and so on. And then the final destruction during its course will draw many nations to the Lord our God. Well, that's because God has made promises. Now, this isn't the way, perhaps, that we would devise to do something like this. But would we not expect this from God, whose ways are not our ways? The enemies of God are going to gather up against his people. No, Lord. We want peace. We want peace. No, Lord, we don't want persecution. We want safety. We want peace. And the Lord has always said throughout the history of redemption that it is indeed through these strokes and through these difficulties and through these afflictions that my people will be drawn to me. Not only those that are already with me, that they will be drawn even more closely to me, but also those who are not my people but will be drawn to me at such times as those. So this program that we're seeing here, it's the after days set in terms of language and understanding that the people of God of that day would receive and understand. All right, with that then, let's stand and